Hello and welcome to Supernatural, where we're on a quest to make the extraordinary ordinary and unlock the greatness that lives in every human being. Thanks for joining us. My guest today is Jake Gallen. Jake is a regenerative detoxification practitioner who trained under the acclaimed Dr. Robert Morse, and he uses living foods, herbal protocols, and practical lifestyle changes to help people regain their health and take control of their lives. He has seen people heal from virtually every illness and chronic condition, many of whom were told that there was no cure or treatment. And he is a living example himself of how when you address the root cause of dis-ease, it's possible to heal from anything. And what I love about you, Jake, is that you are a relentless student of life. You never stop learning and questioning. You practice what you preach, and you live your life as an example of what's possible for everyone as a healthy, vibrant human being. So thanks for being here, brother. I'm super excited for our conversation.
Oh, Chad, thank you for the awesome intro, man. You're a well-spoken individual, which is rare in this day and age. And you made that sound awesome. And it's funny, whenever I hear compliments and things about me and coming from a background of a lot of suffering and feeling like I don't really have a space in the world, it's a beautiful thing to hear, because I've seen the change in clients. And what I hope people get out of this and from listening to you and your content and from following me is that they can heal themselves. You know, like, we can help people and guide people there, but you're the one driving your car. You're the one that's going to do this, and no one is special in that individual way. Like, that's not lucky for one person. It's not just a chance for that person. Like, anyone can. And that's what I love to show people with these practical lifestyle changes is, you know, it's easy to watch a podcast of someone doing a juice fast or eating raw foods, but then the practicability of that, how do I do that? What does that look like? That's what I do with people. And you see people go from despair to insane enjoyment and contentment that they've never experienced in their life. And sometimes in the difference between a couple of hours in a consultation. And then if I coach them moving forward, and then seeing them regenerate, like, man, it is a humbling experience. And the light that Dr. Morse brought into my world, and the, essentially, that I hope I'm sharing with others, and by me discovering you about 8 months ago and seeing what you were sharing, I'm so glad we managed to connect, man. And I'm sure this is obviously going to be one of many. And I'm excited to, just delve in with you and show people how easy it actually is for them to start applying these principles in their lives, and not to get scared by things that they see online of people doing this. People may make a mistake. And it's funny, whenever I see people make a mistake in this world, it's often from a place of ignorance, just an unknowing. They don't know how to eliminate waste out of their body correctly. They didn't know certain things to look out for. And that's ultimately what I try to do with people, is make it as easy as possible. Like, handhold them as much as I can at the beginning, but then let them free, because you got to stand on your own at the end of the day. But to be guided is okay. And man, I wish I did that years ago, was to accept help from others. I'll tell you that. So I'm humbled to be here with you, brother. And Chad, I'm so looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think especially in today's age, it can be so easy to fall into the trap of negativity and pessimism, and just accepting this suffering as part of our fate. And if there's one thing that I want people to take away from this, it's that you are in control of your health. That yes, it may be difficult to make the changes necessary, but ultimately it is you who is in the driver's seat. And so I want this to come from a place of true empowerment. Maybe you agree or disagree with the information that we might share, but whatever you choose to do, we want you to make these choices knowing that you are in control of your life. And so let's talk a little bit about regenerative detoxification, what you do. How do you explain this, and how does it differ from some of the other approaches to health out there?
Well, man, like, there are so many used words in alternative practices. I think one of the ones that both myself and Professor Spirit agree on, we did an episode together on my channel about, what's the term? Not constructive medicine, it's a sort of a new age term that talks about integrative medicine or something. I think that's the term. I could be wrong, but there's all these new age terms you hear things, and people just, it's easier to go, oh, well, that's just another term that's just a fad and it will pass. But really what regenerative detoxification means is we're talking about a process where the body regenerates itself and detoxifies, meaning it cleans itself at the same time. And Dr. Morse at his school uses a term called cleaning and strengthening. And this is something as the body heals itself, is an automatic condition that the body gets itself into by means of changing the chemistry that we consume. So what this looks like is, instead of going after a treatment, that being, let's say you burn yourself, you put a cream on it to treat the burn, we would rather prevent you burning yourself. And what that looks like internally is really in our world of what's known as traditional naturopathy, really what naturopathy used to be before we had changes come in and we had information be changed around. But traditional naturopathy, from Dr. Morse's perspective and ultimately my perspective, is that when we change the chemistry that we consume, because really chemistry is temperature, it's heat or cold, you've got a spectrum of, if something's too cold, it'll burn you, like bleach is super alkaline, then you've got battery acid is super acidic. We got to look at what is going to damage the body. And there's sort of a fine line in the middle where we need to consume the right type of food where the body can get itself into that situation where it can start to clean and strengthen, where it regenerates and detoxifies, regenerative detoxification. So this isn't a treatment modality. This isn't a quick fix modality. You can feel amazing pretty quickly, certainly. But typically I say to people, you got to want it and you got to dig in for at least 3 to 6 months. And essentially what separates this is, because we don't rely on supplementation and because we don't rely on a band-aid, we show the individual, and I will coach people and consult people and showing them, you, when you apply yourself under these skies of regenerative protocol with a herbal protocol specific to weaknesses you have, by understanding the weaknesses and strengths of that individual, that we can track and measure the body cleaning itself. And as that happens, your symptoms just dissipate. So some of the clients I've had that you mentioned, one of the first was a lady that had advanced alopecia, where her hair was falling out patchy. It's on my Instagram. There's videos there of her filming the head really bald on the back, the side here and this area. And she regrew her hair in 5.5 months. And then that was a huge shock to me, because I've time and time again, I've seen Dr. Morse talking about this. I've seen other people. But to have that as someone that I personally coached was just, oh, wow, okay, yeah, this is quite amazing. And having it firsthand, and not to mention my own problems with my teeth, which I can get into later, but the difference is that we are working on the internal environment and ultimately the emotional environment of the individual by changing what we consume. And it's pretty extreme it's a very extreme difference to what most people are doing, but it is a self-empowerment approach, because it, like you said, we're showing you what you can do to change the situation of your body, which ultimately is to change what you consume. It's like putting a superior fuel in your vehicle. It will perform better. It'll run better. It'll have better economy. And using analogies of vehicles and houses is a great way for people to relate to this, because it makes sense to them. And I often use these analogies with people because they can relate to a machine, because your body ultimately is a physical machine, but we have an emotional and mental component on top of that, which is ultimately one of the hardest aspects of healing, is our emotional world.
Yeah, and we'll get into the emotional element a little bit later. But yeah, I think this is an important distinction, that during the healing process, much of what we're doing with eating is we're eating to eliminate. There's this big push these days. It's all about what's going in, nutrition, yeah. Science, that you can just slap drugs or supplements on top of what you're doing and the life you're living.
Yeah.
But if the toxins are still accumulated in the body, you're not going to heal at a deep cellular level. And so what we're trying to do is remove these obstructions and these toxins and allow the body just to heal itself and return to balance, return to harmony, because that's what nature does. That's what the body does. And so we're trusting the intelligence of the body. So you've touched a little bit about how important diet is. So you don't have to go into the hows and whys right now. We're going to get into that and a little bit of the more sciencey stuff. But just to give people a taste of where we're going and what direction we're headed, what is the optimal diet for a human being?
So when I do lectures, I do a lot of lectures at a community that I live at. And I like to use Socratic methods. So anyone listening, I'd like them to start asking themselves the following questions. And that is, which species do we most closely match in nature? Which species do we share the closest genetic match to? And I believe it's a National Geographic statistic and a Western scientific statistical fact that we are more closely genetically matched to chimps than chimps are to gorillas. Sure, we have a difference, and that main difference is a neurological difference, the difference of our ability to build skyscrapers, contemplate life, break down mathematical equations, have complex conversations, right? Things that these animals don't seem to have. Maybe they do in other ways, but we can't measure it. But from what we can measure, and by the means that humans know how, we see there's a clear difference there. But what we can clearly see as well is the similarity of our physiology. And so essentially, in an ideal world, we would want to be eating a fruit and herb diet. And ultimately, that's what I really get my clients to push onto as hard as they can, especially if they're people with tumors or in wheelchairs. I really don't want to mess around. And there's a very good reason for that. And that is that our digestive tract length, the fact we have one stomach, we're not herbivores, we don't have 4 to 5 stomachs. A lot of people that are in the carnivore world often think that vegan kind of thing means herbivore, but they've gotten confused, and sort of the frugivorous nature has been left to the side. No one really talks about fruit. So it might be hard for people to hear, but really just to ask that question of, how does fruit taste when you pick it? Do we need to process it? Do we need to change anything? Do we need to alter it in any way? Or does it taste damn amazing when you pick it off the tree? When you get a ripe orange, a ripe mango, a ripe banana, passion fruit, you just have so much enjoyment. The same way when you see footage of a lion taken into a bite of it, a dead gazelle that they've just hunted, they are in full enjoyment of that food. And I'll be hard pressed to see if someone genuinely wants to do that, but really anyone is going to lap up fruit very quickly. And fruits are the healing powers, man. And then you have on top of that, the magical herbs. Herbs are just in a league of their own. We see them assist weakened areas of the body. And it's interesting, you see animals, another observation of nature to use Socratic method, is what do animals do when they're sick or if they're injured? They stop eating and they turn to herbs every single time. You can witness it. There's people in this community I live at, and they know the cows so well that if the cow is ill, the cow will literally stop eating grass and eat herbs. But they think the cow is eating grass. No, the cow is eating a different plant entirely. It's eating a herb that's helping them heal. It's an amazing thing to witness. And the moment we use an observational stance, which Dr. Morse has a great line, true science is observed science. That's why Socratic method, for me, for someone who was super locked in my mind, I had to start asking questions and just watching. And if the listeners here can do that and see, maybe there's something to this, I implore you to give it a shot. You won't regret it.
Yeah, and this can sound very far-fetched, I will admit. I know when I was going through this journey of learning, you know, I'll be the first to admit that I ridiculed people who didn't eat meat for most of my life. I didn't think it was possible to live on a diet that was free of meat. But what Jake was talking about, the anatomy and the physiology, is really what kind of satiated my scientific mind, we'll say.
Same.
And really allowed me to give it a shot, because when you look at any species in nature, you can tell exactly what they're supposed to eat based on their anatomical and physiological structures. You look at things like tooth structure, jaw structure, length of the digestive tract, the acidity of different fluids in the body and areas of the digestive tract. You could look this up online. It's called the frugivore chart. And what you see is, by far, we are closest to primates, frugivores, fruit-eating monkeys. And so at this point, people are probably going, okay, so you're promoting a vegan diet. And I would say no. And now
correct.
I understand that this can be a very emotionally triggering topic. And I do want to acknowledge that there is this, I think, toxicity around veganism in our culture. Where people think you're eating miracle meat burgers and tofu scrambled eggs and
miracle meat. I love that, man.
And anytime people hear this, they become skeptical. People are probably saying, I know vegans who are very sickly and unwell. Yeah. And you know, you're not wrong. I think both of us would agree. We tend to not see great outcomes when people are doing sort of a traditional vegan or vegetarian. And so we're not promoting veganism in the traditional sense. We do technically fall under that label, if you want to put a label on it, but neither of us would call ourselves this. I think the closest thing that we could get to is probably a fruit-based living foods diet, but it is sort of a whole nother animal when you compare it to veganism. So I want people to see above all what's possible for them, that there is a way out of the pain and the suffering that they're experiencing. So can you give us a couple examples of what you've seen clients overcome and heal from over the years of doing this work?
Yeah, absolutely, man. And so in the scheme of things, I'm pretty new. So this is just an example. People have asked, how long did you study for? It's not long. You can do the study in within a few months. You can do the study within less than that time if you really push to it. But what it is the application of how do you work with people, because really the truth, and it's hard, man, this was hard for me to really hear. I was like, what? It can't be that simple. There's obviously layers of the complexities you said we could get into later, but because I started off and people often ask me, how did you have that happen? But you've only been doing this for 3 years and your study time wasn't that long. How is it? And I said, yes, exactly. How is it that I've managed to have a client in the first year of me just helping people who regrow their hair? And then I've had other clients with HSV, so genital herpes, cleared that with their own medical testing, IgG tests, IgG equivalency tests. They put the blood under a microscope. It's not a swab. There's ways to test to see if the antibodies drop, if they increase. There's really great things you can do there based on their own ways of measuring these things to see that. And it's beautiful to witness things that are supposedly unfixable in the Western sense, and they just seem to just disappear and they don't come back. They come back when the person goes back to the old ways of eating long enough, but it's interesting how they don't when you adhere to this and you let the body clean itself. So I've had the hair regeneration, I've had the HSV with clients, I've had one testimonial video with a client, but I've actually had others clear this as well that I haven't accounted for yet in video or format that way. People with pretty bad skin conditions, really bad psoriasis and eczema, a lady who, I've got this on my Instagram, 7 weeks, not even on a herb protocol, just on salads and fruit. She had bleeding, cracked, scaly arm on her right side to pretty much non-existent within a 7 week window. That was a lady who had that for a very long time, could barely have relationships with people, couldn't be touched. Imagine that, being someone you can't be touched because it's so painful. We're a sensitive human race that needs a connection and human connection. Even to have a pat on the shoulder would be painful to no longer experience that. People with tumors in their stomachs. I've got a client right now who's had an 8-centimeter cancer on the side of his head that is now flush and pretty much completely disappeared in a 9-week window. I'll be doing a testimonial with him in the weeks to come. And there was someone at a talk once who was a medical professional, and they got really annoyed. And I just flat out asked them, I said, why would you be annoyed when you see the healing of an individual? Did you not set out to help people heal? Did you not set out to do that? The fact that you spent 8 years studying and spent God knows what, and you haven't been able to really do anything from what I've understood, otherwise you'd be giving me high fives. Tells me a lot there's wrong in the way that we learn. And they didn't really know what to say to that, because I said I studied not much in the scheme of things, because really how we allow the body to detoxify is quite simple. But I will preface this, what is really a challenge, and this is why it went over the coursework work multiple times and why I do my own research still, is because when you deal with people that have been on a lot of pharmaceuticals that have type 1 or type 2 that have reliance on medications. This is something we have to be really sensitive with, and we can't just chuck them into some crazy detox just like that. So I would like to also say as well that two of the coolest success stories I've had, again, they are on reviews on my Google by these people so that they can be read, but I'm really pushing for a video testimonials for these people. Two individuals in their 70s. People often think, oh, it's too late, I'm too old. One of which was pre-Alzheimer's, could not walk upstairs without assistance, couldn't think either. He forgot where he was in the consult. His wife had to facilitate the consult. And about 9 months, he got pretty lean, pretty skinny. He built 10 kilograms of new tissue without even... put on 10 kilograms of new weight of new muscle tissue without even exercising. His body just rebuilt it on a fruit diet. And he can think straight. He can walk upstairs normally. And this other lady was a chronic anxiety case, really low self-esteem, low self-worth, couldn't speak up. And in 16 weeks, 4 months, she had the confidence of a confident teenager almost. And both of them are in their 70s. And so that beautiful things to witness in the elderly, quote unquote, and the fact that I've had that back to back with some older cases of people that aren't in the young generation is just another testament to not thinking it's too late. You know, I think that's something that even people over the age of 40, of clients of mine that are in their 40s, they think, oh, I'm getting old. You know, 40 is not old.
Yeah, incredible. And I think the beautiful thing about what you're doing is, yes, you were there as a guide. You were there to walk side by side with these people. But at the end of the day, you didn't do the healing. They did.
Yeah.
And that's what changes people, is seeing that they have the power to create a new life. And you talked about how the medical system has kind of almost become a religion in today's day and age, where we worship these people in their white lab coat and we look to them to fix us and make us better and just give us a drug that's going to take away the symptoms, which doesn't really bring about true profound change at a personal level. And what you're doing, these people who've healed from these conditions, it's completely changed the trajectory of their life and their future. And they're never going to be the same people. And they're going to go out in their life and have a ripple effect towards the people around them. And that's what I find so incredible about this space that you and I are in. I look at you, you're young, you're healthy, you're full of life. It's very rare to see somebody your age who's in this space and who has this depth of knowledge. So share with us a little bit about your story and what brought you to this point where you had to go deep within yourself to heal.
Yeah. Well, man, so people that have followed me for a while will probably already know the story, but for those that have absolutely no clue, I just turned 28, and in my early 20s, I started to have severe teeth issues where my teeth were decaying from the inside out. So most people see external decay. You get a hole from the outside and they fill it. But I had a tooth that pretty much broke down and it had to be removed. I believe I was 23. And I remember sitting in the dentist chair and going, this is just not meant to be happening. This is not a normal thing that should be happening to a 23-year-old. And the dentist has said, oh, it's neglect, you know, bacteria between the gum. And I said, yeah, but didn't you say that there was no decay on the outside of the tooth, so it wasn't an external thing from a bacterial problem? And he said, yeah, it is strange, but he said, we see it a lot. You know, this was interesting. They see it a lot. And I've had clients since as well that talked about this. And then years later, at this point, I'd already discovered Dr. Morse, but that ultimately was the crux of what shifted me, was my teeth. But if we wind it back a little further, I entered this world as a baby, coma for 8 days, ruptured appendix at 15 months of age. So that means the appendix wasn't removed at birth, and that should have killed me. They sent a specialist over from the United States. because I had incredibly high levels of chromium, copper, I believe aluminium as well, in my body, which they said, a child with that should be dead, essentially. They shouldn't have those levels. And they were very shocked also with my mother's breast milk, I believe, like, why is this the case? Why is this so high? I've later found out that dairy is a high contaminant of heavy metals, and my mum did eat a lot of that, I think, during pregnancy, and that would have been an element of that. But all during this time, obviously, my mum's understanding and my family's understanding, there was no connection with the lymphatic system, the genetic health of the individual. And me being in a coma for 8 weeks and having a ruptured appendix, and then I also at one point stopped breathing, and I had no idea why. I had heart rates that went from almost nothing to 300-400 beats per minute, fluctuating all over the place. They called me the miracle baby at one point. They were testing on me against my mother's consent. We have legitimate medical documentation of this, where mum had to sign a release form saying that she acknowledges that she's going to be responsible for the death of her child, even though they were essentially just using me as a test subject behind my mum's back. And they pretty much given up, and they said, they labeled me with a short chain fatty acid disorder, that I'd be dead or have serious complications by the time I was 10. Mum, of course, knew they were full of it. They had no idea what was going on. They never knew. But I believe I was on a support machine at home, or we were in the hospital, I can't quite remember, but my uncle was with my mum, and I was in a coma, and I was fully blue, like really poor circulation happening. And my mum used homeopathics. There's a homeopathic remedy called CarboVeg, which in homeopathy is known as the corpse reviver, actually. And my uncle is someone that is very West. He thinks in a very Western mind, like if you have quote unquote cancer, go get chemo. Essentially, you have a cold, take Panadol or a painkiller and antibiotics. And mum gave me this remedy, and literally within minutes I was awake and breathing. And so he always had that in the back of his mind, even though since he's been rather against this way of doing things. Not that I use homeopathics now, I use herbal formulas, but homeopathics are extremely powerful. And this was a testament to that. And the hospital again said, oh, we're not quite sure if that was actually the reason. He just woke up. It was just coincidence. Even though, pretty funny coincidence, considering it was literally a homeopathic called corpse reviver. And so there was still no answer to the conditions that I had. Fast track to the teeth problems in my young adult life. I did have teeth issues when I was a kid as well. But really nothing too crazy growing up. I ate a pretty good mostly vegetarian diet, a lot of organic food, organic grains, what supposedly even goat's milk for quite a while, what a lot of these healthy lifestyles are, did paleo for a bit in high school, did all these things. Then I discovered veganism in my late teenage years, thought I'd hit the gold mine, essentially. Everything I eat is going to be great. Vegan butter, all these breads, pastas, it's all good. Not knowing that I was eating an extremely lymphatically clogging lifestyle. And then a few years later, started to have skin problems and teeth issues. And during this time, I discovered Dr. Morse. I was 18, 10 years ago when I discovered Dr. Morse. And I discovered a video of his, which has since been deleted. But I knew there was truth to what this guy was saying. So already I accessed it then. I wasn't applying it. But there was a big part of me living in denial. But when I was in that dentist chair, I have to go down this avenue. There's nothing else makes sense to me. I understand he's talked about lymph being stagnant in the head. I'd seen my eyes had a lot of lymph. I don't know how to read my eyes. I hadn't studied it at school. And then about a year or so later, I pulled the plug. Oh, no, that's not the right expression. I bit the bullet and I did it. You know, I went and became a student of his school, and I wasn't fully applying the principles then, but I was probably doing them 90%. I had serious eating disorder problems that I was tackling, but a big part wasn't taking responsibility. And then I let another tooth decay to the point where they needed to fill it, and that was the straw for me. It's like, here you are again, mate. You see the action, the cause and effect action of what you're doing. And you're going to reap what you sow. And ultimately, I could see where that was going to go. I got a full scan of the mouth. The dentist said, look, there's internal, slight internal decay on nearly every tooth, and you've already said you have a lot of pain in your mouth. I was having pain in my mouth for years, not understanding then, but since I'd finished the first part of Dr. Morse's coursework, I knew exactly what was going on, and I just knew, okay, I'm going to turn my ship in the other direction. I'm no longer going to go down this road. I don't want to have veneers and fake teeth. I'm not going to be here getting other teeth pulled out. And now 3 years later, I have had no more teeth pulled out. I have had no more decay. I went back and had one scan earlier on, and the lady said that the area with the worst internal decay had gotten smaller. She accused me of actually having it filled, even though there was no evidence of that, because you could see the enamel of the tooth was intact. There wasn't an additional filler. And then she said the other areas hadn't progressed any further, and one of which had disappeared, which showed me that there was regeneration taking place. I don't know the extent that it's at now. I would say that the areas that were a little bit are pretty much gone now, because I understand how it regenerates, and I ultimately don't want to put myself back into the medical world, because I trust the process, and that was enough evidence for me. So when people have questioned me on that, I go, look, I don't have anything right now from where I am, but the fact is I haven't had any more decay, and I eat a pretty much all fruit diet. If that were to be the case, I would have no teeth left, I'd have pain, I'd have sensitivity, I have none of that. And here I am now, been helping people. And what another thing, just to finish this long-winded explanation of how I got into this, is what really helped me deal with deeper emotional things and relationship to myself was my relationship to my clients, seeing them heal, seeing them change, seeing them completely view their life in a different way, seeing that they are not their problems. I used to identify with my teeth are my problems, my skin is my problems, and yet it's not. So what are you going to do once your problems are no longer there? Who are you? Asking the person, what do you see yourself doing in 10 years? Oh, I don't know, I have this problem. Forget the problem. You don't have the problem anymore. What are you then going to do? They often have no idea, because they've revolved their existence around a point of suffering. And it's a beautiful thing to change. And that really helped me, man. I'm telling you, Chad, that was a game changer. It was seeing change in your perspective there. And people can do that without even changing their diet. They can just change their mindset of, what do I look like without X, without this problem, without this environment, whatever it may be. So pretty much that's how I came to this, to where I am now in my late 20s.
That's quite the journey. And look at you now, you're a true practitioner in the sense that you are living it. And I think, you know, when people are looking for help, it's so important that you can relate to them and meet them at their pain points. I want to get into a little bit more about diet and how mm-hmm. we're nourishing the body during these times of healing. Can you talk a little bit about the difference between raw foods, living foods, and then cooked foods in terms of mm-hmm. chemistry, life force, energy, consciousness, mm-hmm. kind of just what damage do normal foods do in a Western diet, and why do we use living foods to regenerate the body?
Mm. Cool. So if people can just take the stance of energy and think of a takeaway meal, there's a lot of ingredients in there, it's heavily cooked, you're going to feel pretty heavy after that. So there's an energy loss that you're experiencing. You're experiencing a fatigue in your body. You see people, they want to feel numb, they numb out on heavy foods. No one's going to be emotionally eating on oranges. They'll turn to some dense, starchy, fatty, refined sugar sort of meal. And so when we look at living food, or what really to define living food means, that you haven't had a temperature higher than, what, 120, 130 Fahrenheit, which is like, I don't know what the conversion is, but in Celsius, it's pretty much around between 60 and 70 degrees centigrade, which 100 degrees will kill enzymes, will kill bacteria for that matter, since they are alive. And enzymatic action in foods has to be present. We look at the pancreas, for example, it produces sodium bicarbonate, it produces digestive enzymes. So if you consume a heavily cooked food, you've instantaneously given more work to your pancreas. Not to mention every other species eats their food raw. So when we consume living food, I think someone that defined this really well was Dan McDonald. He said there's actually a difference between raw food and living food, since a lot of foods lose a lot of their living energy when it's been on the shelf long enough, even if it's raw. But in saying that, It's still an uncooked, it's been heated by the sun, it's been grown in nature, and it hasn't had fire applied to it. And what we see happen there is we have a higher frequency food. If your body functions here, which has been measured around 6,000 units of electromagnetic energy, and fruit is 10 to 12,000, the law of homeostasis applies. It's in the law that applies everywhere. People have done experiments with wheels spinning at one type of revolution and the other one spinning slower, that the fast one will slow down, the slow one will speed up, and they'll have find eventually a common rhythm. So that's law of homeostasis. And if you have a high energy coming into a cell and your cell is functioning here, this happens. It rises and it finds a middle point. And this is why we see cell expression increase. We see regeneration take place. This is where you see people whose arms, I've had a client with ALS, MS, not ALS, multiple sclerosis, and his arms didn't work properly. In just a few months on grapes, he was using his arms. He would be able to wheel himself around in his chair. First improvement he's ever had. And understanding the energetics of the food, that is a really fundamental principle difference, is that if you eat food that is lower in energy, you're going to see a depletion in the expression of how your body functions. You're not going to feel alive, you're going to feel down. And then if you have a weakness in a part of the body, you're going to see that suffering in that area more so. So pancreatic decline, you're going to be more reliant on supplementation, on enzymes, because your body's struggling to do that job that it naturally wants to do. So one of the greatest things about raw living foods is just by eating raw food, you have high enzymatic food, you've got good bacteria there, you've got high water content structured within the food, it's going to hydrate the cells. Just those three things alone, cooking food doesn't have. So there are three elements that virtually every other species consumes that we miss just by cooking, essentially.
Yeah, and the spiritual traditions of all ages have understood this, that there's an energetic component to food and that life comes from life, which is why they all encourage the consumption of very high energy living foods. And they say that you kind of take on the energy of the food you consume, where if you're eating inhumanely slaughtered animals from a conventional slaughterhouse, their cells are carrying the energy of death, fear, suffering, pain. And that's stored in the cellular memory. And when we consume that, we take that into our energetic bodies. But there's also a physical component as well. Talk to us a little bit about some of the damage that conventional foods will do in terms of the acidity of the body, in terms of the mucus and the toxins and the residue that will accumulate in the digestive tract in the body over time.
Yeah.
What can you share about that?
Yeah, so yeah, exactly. So for continuing on from the energetic point of view, from when you apply heat, the energy is lowered, is you also have the chemistry change, which ultimately leads into this aspect. And that is that you cannot make something more hydrating by cooking it. So therefore, you can't make it more alkalizing by cooking it. Even a simple mucusless vegetable, meaning a vegetable that doesn't have a mucosa response or doesn't have mucus mucus inside it, like dairy, for example. Difference between a potato and a sweet potato is that the sweet potato turns into a simple sugar when you cook it, and it's ultimately a pretty neutral food. But even then, there will be a slight acidic hit because it's being cooked. And so when you get a conventional food, and even foods that ultimately would be good on their raw form, and you apply heat, you have now burnt off water, you have destroyed enzymes, you have destroyed the electromagnetic frequency, which is a non-physical component. And then what happens is, if you have a whole conglomeration of cooked foods in one meal, you've got a pretty low frequency, very acidic food coming in. So then your body lowers its stomach pH even more, which makes it more acidic, burns the stomach wall, then passes through the small bowels. The body tries to combat it by producing sodium bicarbonate from the pancreas. It fails to do so because it's not meant to be having that in its system to begin with. Then you have acidic chemistry transiting through your colon, which is burning the bowel wall. There's residue, it's sticky, it's not moving fluidly. A common comment from clients is that when they pass stools, when they wipe, there is nothing left. There's nothing there because it's clean as it comes. It cleans you as it eliminates out of you. That if you eat a highly dehydrating diet that is cooked, there's a hardening to it. You've got to remember that acidity is cationic in chemistry. Cations are acidic in nature. Anions, or an anionic side of chemistry, is hydrating in nature. Raw food is ultimately an anionic chemistry, high electrolyte chemistry, and acidic chemistry is cationic and ultimately corrosive and nitrogen rich. Nitrogen molecules will burn tissue. Carbon molecules in electrolyte rich foods will hydrate tissues and promote regeneration of tissue. And just those two pillars of chemistry, just by applying heat, can alter it. You can have something in a raw food format, which is great raw, you cook it and you've completely changed it. The same way when you heat a fat, a lot of carnivore people know that if you heat a certain type of fat, that it changes something. People are starting to really grasp that idea that not all fat is equal, the same way not all sugar is equal. You know, Coca-Cola sugar is not fructose and fruit, and high fructose corn syrup has nothing to do with fructose and fruit.
Yeah. So in a nutshell, what we want in the body ideally to heal, to regenerate, to thrive, is a very alkaline pH level in the body, in the blood. And these traditional foods, they have a very acidifying effect. So all of a sudden the organs, the blood, it becomes very acidic. The body has to try to combat it. All these foods that irritate the GI tract, it leads to mucus secretion because the body is trying to protect itself. And over time, what happens is this mucus, it doesn't pass out of the body. And so it starts to accumulate and build up on the intestinal walls, combined with all the other toxins that we're consuming. And over time, it becomes thicker and thicker and thicker, kind of like the inside of a clogged kitchen pipe, if you will. And I just got done with a couple herbal cleanses, protocols that were designed to eliminate this, because this stuff stays in your body for decades. It just keeps building up, and it's shocking, disgusting, and kind of cool what comes out.
Yeah.
It's rubbery and ropey and just horrific smelling, but that's the stuff that is obstructing true health and vitality from flowing in our bodies. It's really all disease kind of starts with stagnation in the digestive tract, and where the disease manifests and the symptoms that come to the surface are just kind of dependent on genetic weaknesses or which organs are susceptible, which has to do with what we think and how we feel. But essentially we're trying to cleanse the body. And when we go on to this living food diet, this is the stuff that you're going to start to eliminate. And as these obstructions leave, the body returns itself to health. And real quick, before I move on, I did want to ask you, when you look at the very health conscious people today, it seems like people are going to both ends of the extreme. Either they're going to a very light plant-based living foods diet, or they're going to carnivore, or what they're calling animal-based, which is carnivore with fruits or raw milk, that sort of thing. And you can't deny it. There are, you know, there's testimonials from people saying that they've alleviated this or that symptom and healed themselves from this condition. Animal-based people, they definitely do better than somebody who's on a standard Western diet. So why does carnivore appear to work?
Cool. I wanted to say one thing before I get into that. And as a guy that really hit the scene recently, he's been around for a while, but I really started to take notice of him. And that is, I'm not shaming this guy. I think what he's promoting is actually quite great, because he talks a lot about the importance of fruit juice, fruit, raw honey, by not cooking the food. Is Dr. Paul Saladino, and he's a good example of someone who is thriving on this lifestyle. But what I will mention is he used to promote a completely carnivorous lifestyle. He used to eat exclusively meat, I believe, raw dairy, eggs, and now the difference is he's added fruit and raw honey and fruit juices and raw goat's milk or something like that. And he was having serious problems, neurological problems, nerve problems, pain. And he was very open about this. And he's a very honest individual. He says, I was wrong about the carnivore diet. An animal-based diet has to have these fruits, not vegetables. And that's, I think, something the carnivore diet understands. In our world, we get it too. Vegetables aren't really the way. especially referring to greens, like dense greens. Your body does not digest those well. So we definitely agree on that. But I do find it interesting that he began to thrive, and these people that thrive on this, they all have a lot of fruit. So I'm curious to see what it would be like without the fruit. So just a side note of there. But really, there's a fundamental reason, in my opinion, and from what I've seen with people, because mind you, I'm coaching someone right now who did 10 years on a carnivore diet. She is not in a good way at all. She's actually incredibly lucky to be alive. My age as well. Same birth year, same country we're born in, both from New Zealand. There's a lot I relate to her. I see her as a sister. And seeing what happened of 10 years of carnivore, no period, no menstrual cycle. I've had people that have had organs and glands pop and burst and atrophy on a carnivore diet. So I've just seen this firsthand with clients that it's not all what it turns out to be. But I also understand I've seen people have a bad way on a raw food diet as well. So I know that's anecdotal, but I just wanted to note that. But really, ultimately, when we look at the chemistry, like what we've discussed, is meats specifically are very high in protein. They're very high in nitrogen. They're very high ultimately in fat. Some meats are leaner in fat, but they've got a pretty strong structure of protein and fat. And what we see when it comes to the lymphatic system is when you don't have astringents. Astringents are ultimately, a property in fruits that move the lymphatic system. I see this as ultimately the creator put the pump for our lymph in the diet. We have a heart that pumps our blood. The pump for our lymph is our diet, and that is our species diet. And people are saying a meat diet is a species diet. But one thing, a main thing that meat doesn't have is it doesn't have astringents. And what that means is when your body starts pushing waste out, you have joint pain, you have some sort of autoimmune condition, and these people go to a carnivore diet and all their problems disappear in a very short period of time. Some of them, they notice it within a few days, it's gone, never comes back for years. And they go, this fixed me. Is they misunderstand elimination, that your body cannot just eliminate waste within literally a few days and fix a lifetime of abuse. And that ultimately comes back to that meat is stagnant in the body. It makes the lymphatic system stagnant. There is no astringent movement. It adds protein. The body has to produce more lymph. There's fat structured with that. Fat is a buffer. Your lymphatic system is a buffer. There's fat there, and that essentially insulates between acids, destroying tissue. But I think we'll see in our lifetime the true result of a carnivore diet, and I would say their bowels are not good, because I've heard firsthand from some pretty big people online, like the Petersons and all of that, talking about it's not pretty when you go to the bathroom, and some of them don't even have bowel movements but once a month or once a week or once every 2 weeks, and this is often discussed as being normal. And as we know with this, and you mentioned at the beginning, elimination, we have to remove the obstruction to the flow of energy, and meat is an incredibly obstructive force in the body, not to mention from an energetic point of view, how are you going to get life from life? And I will finish with, I have never seen anyone regenerate tissue properly on a carnivore diet, but I have seen them do that on a fruit diet.
Yeah, that's, I think, the best explanation that I've heard from anyone as to why people's symptoms seem to disappear on a carnivore diet. We were talking about it off camera, but, you know, that was a question I always had, because it seems like there's so many formulas to living a healthy life. And I really appreciate how you answered that question too, in a non-divisive way. We're not here to tell people they're wrong and fight groups who don't believe the same thing. It's like, we're all learning. We're all on this journey. And if you really look at these health conscious people, we all, like, for the most part, we agree on most of the fundamentals. It's our disagreements are a very small percentage of that. So I think coming together and really reinforcing what other groups have gotten right now and throughout time is important. And I want to mention that I think the other caveat to this sort of carnivore primal diet is that, yes, I believe that our anatomy and our physiology says that we are primates, that we are frugivores, but human beings, if you think about it, we've been eating a meat-based diet for hundreds, thousands of generations, and the body, in all its miraculousness, has adapted in certain ways to meet these demands. It's been able to buffer the enzyme production and other things over the course of generations, because this is what the human body does. It adapts to whatever we throw at it. And so I think, you know, we're not just trying to undo our lifetime of damage, we're trying to undo generations. And so I do believe this is another reason that human beings can thrive and live a healthy lifestyle on a meat-based, animal-based diet. And I do want to honor everybody who's doing that. Like, if you're making conscious decisions about your health, I got nothing but respect for you. And I think folks like you and I, what we're really interested in is, can we return to the original human blueprint, the original human design? You know, going back to primal is much better than our industrialized Western diet, but can we actually return to the proverbial Garden of Eden and live in alignment with ourselves, in harmony with other people, and in harmony with God or the divine force, whatever you want to call it? And so I think that's what we're truly after, is what's possible for an optimally functioning human. What if the pain and the suffering that we've considered normal is not normal at all? What if we don't have to decline with age? What if the human lifespan actually is what was talked about in some of our sacred texts, 150 years, 200 years? What if we didn't just exist to 100, but we could thrive at 100? And so these are, I think, the questions that we're setting out to answer with how we live our life. And we don't have all the answers, but I heard you use this quote in one of your lectures, and I love it. It's, only those who go where few have gone will see what few have seen.
I was about to say that. I'm glad you said it. I believe that was Socrates or Aristotle. Or was that Buddha? It was I forget, but it was one of the three.
Exactly. But yeah, that one stuck with me, and I love how you use that. That's what we're on the pursuit of, I truly believe. And as you said, time will tell. And so moving on, kind of staying on this topic of the power of raw foods, when people see something like this, one of the big objections is always, what about the people who fail? What about the people who died on a water fast, or who died after going on a fruitarian diet? So when you do go from a Western diet to a raw diet, explain the cleansing reaction that occurs as the body starts to eliminate all the toxins, and why these people appear to fail.
Well, we've really got to understand, just like you said, we don't just have our physical bodies to fix, but we got to remember, we have the genetics from our parents, we have the lymphatic system from our mom, we have the genetics from their parents' parents, and so on. We've got a generational line of healing to do. We've got trauma. We've already scientifically shown that there is information stored in cells, memory of things that has happened. So really, we've got a generational detoxification healing to do. And we may only get so far in our life. And that's a big thing Professor Spirit and I discussed, that he brought up, is, why is everyone so focused on me? What about how far can I get so my kids don't have the same problems? So we aren't talking about junk food. We don't talk about eating grains and processed food anymore. There's no concept of this. It's a foreign idea. And understanding that we've got generations of humanity has turned its ship in a very odd direction. Agriculture reliance on preserving foods, cooking foods, and understanding that waste can only be eliminated if we give the environment of elimination to take place. You can be eating a great diet, but if you opened up pathways of elimination, have you done a cleanse like what you've been doing to really dig in and get old waste matter out of your colon? No, you got to put your body under a very specific umbrella in order for that sequence of events to take place, that sequence of elimination to take place. And they can be some seriously unpleasant sensations. You can have itching of the skin, burning of the skin. You can have loss of energy to the point where you're bedridden. You can have energy that goes in the opposite. You have too much energy, you're awake all night, you don't sleep, and you literally get half an hour sleep, you wake up and you still have energy. You're like, turn me off. That can be a complaint. I get that. Dr. Morse is very open about that the energy of raw foods is too much for him. At his point of evolution, he can't handle it. Arnold Errett, the guy that mucusless diet healing system, I highly respect him. Dr. Morse highly respects him. He lived what he spoke, and that's what I'm adhering to do. I'm definitely not as much down the path as Arnold Errett, but he is an insane inspiration for me because he worked throughout the detoxification to the point where he was functioning on a level that I haven't seen many humans function on. And yet to get there, you need to get through this detoxification window. So it sort of links back to what you said before about mucus. One of the first things people experience is a cold and flu symptom. Coughing, blowing your nose, mucus. That is lymph fluid coming out of your nose. That is lymph fluid with waste in it. The color of it is indicative of the waste that's within the fluid. If it's yellow, it's more advanced stagnation. If it's clear, it's less. If it's green, it's more advanced. Brown, black. Black is serious stuff. Green, brown, really dirty waste coming out because your body's smart. It's produced a defense mechanism that is fat. I think that's why a lot of people do see success with carnivore, is you do have this buffering effect, like I mentioned before, of fat. And ultimately, I do believe that humans need an adequate amount of natural plant fats, coconut and avocado, moving forward, specifically women. But if we want to detoxify, we got to open up these pathways and not be afraid of what ultimately we call, I think it was natural hygiene coined the term, a healing crisis, where this isn't reason to run in the other direction. Oh, I have a fever. Oh, I have a cold and flu symptom. This isn't about viruses. This isn't about shut down the fever. Your body has kicked the temperature up by means of the thyroid glands to initiate a detoxification response. This is detoxification, as Dr. Morse terms it, is nature. This isn't us. This is nature's process. You see detoxification of land, you go and bulldoze it and put concrete. You leave it, it'll crack. Plants will start producing, and the waste will be moved away. Nature will find a way to come back. And that is like ultimately what I said before, you're giving the environment for your body to do that. And unlike pharmaceuticals, just a side note, unlike pharmaceuticals, it can be a lot harder to control symptoms, detoxification, because once you let the car out the garage, it's going to drive. And there are times you can slow it down, but unlike pharmaceuticals, where they can use suppressive medications to control symptomology in a very accurate time frame, something I do say to clients is you might do certain steps to slow down detoxification, but that may not be enough. Your body may just do what it wants to do, and you just let it sit back and watch and let your body heal. But the reason why people run into problems like dying on water fasts, going through extreme detoxification and dying, and getting very ill and getting a lot worse, is they haven't understood that point of serious toxicity in the body, something Professor Arnold Errett really emphasized. And this is why I said before, if I work with a client that has been on a lot of pharmaceuticals, I always am on the side of caution, because I do not want to see them in one of those places. And I've never had a client that has had a negative response, because I've transitioned them into a slower way of healing without going full bore. Because if you do that, you can circulate toxins, it can hit a damaged area and kill you. Same way if you get into a water fast too quickly, maybe fasting isn't an amazing tool, but is it too soon? Have we actually done enough preliminaries first? Have we put enough fruit fiber in first? Have we put enough transitional foods first? But humans want things to be done immediately. Humans want things now. We want that to happen right now. We have that quick fix mentality. Whoa, hold up. We need to play the long game, because you've been on pancreatic insulin suppressive medication or replacement therapy. You've been on steroid creams. You've been on Panadol and migraine medication. We got to take it slow, and we got to be smart, because I don't want to see you damaging yourself. And that, just straight away, not to hate yourself and go, oh, I'm a toxic, dirty human, but humans have strayed far off the path, in my opinion. And we got to be smart about how we get ourselves back in, because there's someone in this country recently who just died. I think his name was the Mango Man, who's known as the Mango Guy. He was a fruitarian that just died. I found out from a personal friend who was personally friends with him. This guy ate around 9 to 12 avocados a day. I would never recommend that to anyone. I would never recommend that to any of my clients. And this person also didn't really drink liquid. So not about water, but he didn't eat high hydrating fruits. So we've got to look at the bigger picture as well as what some of these people are doing. And I really have compassion for his family and other people that have ultimately found that found their demise within this lifestyle, because I don't think it's the lifestyle. I think it's just the fact that the human beings, sometimes we find ourselves in positions where we don't know. And that's my mission, to educate people as much as they can so they don't mess up. So they can safely and efficiently and happily heal their bodies.
Yeah, and I think that's such an important point that you touched on, is not to be afraid and fall into fear when we're getting these cleansing reactions.
Yeah.
We've been taught to be so afraid of getting sick, but I think we need to understand that this is what sickness is. It's an acute response where the body is cleaning house. It's ridding itself of the toxins that are getting in the way of us living in a way that we can thrive. But we do. We have strayed so far from the path. And in our society today, we have such a high toxic load that if you don't do it responsibly, if you don't kind of have the foreknowledge and you go too fast, too soon, you basically end up drowning in your own toxins as your body dumps it back into the bloodstream, or as it's...
I did that.
Yeah. And exactly. So, yeah, and you mentioned two of the great minds in this school of thought, Morse and Arrett. Morse, of course, in the modern day, he's known for healing people who are in a very critical and dire situation. They're kind of on death's door, and he'll put them on all grapes and you'll see them heal and regenerate, but it's not necessarily sustainable long term because they didn't go through the transition. And then you have Arrett, who was the father of naturopathy, really. And he, in the late 1800s, early 1900s, kind of wrote his treatise of the mucusless diet healing system, which my understanding is he started off a little bit more extreme like Morse, but what he came around to is that you need to go slow and be responsible. And so he devised this system to help people transition. But I think we also need to keep in mind this was over 100 years ago. So if he knew how we were living today and what we were truly putting into our bodies, he would be horrified.
Oh, yeah.
And so what I love about what you do is you don't subscribe to any one doctrine or dogma.
Nah.
You kind of take the best of everything that you found to work in your experience.
Yeah.
And so how do you draw from these differing schools of thought? And if for someone who's interested in transitioning to something like this, how do you start them in this transition process?
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that, because my website, my email, it's Raw Generate. And people are surprised when I recommend cooked foods. They don't get it. And they go, but it's raw. And I said, yeah, but raw also in just like the raw reality of what we're doing, really not diluting the message of what we need to do. But ultimately, I explained, yes, we are a raw foodist species like every other species, but we have strayed far. So Arnold Arrett took the wise stance, just like the great Greeks. That's why I highly respect Stoicism, Taoism, Greek philosophers, and Arnold Arrett, is because they saw what humanity had done. We've seen what we've done to the physical body. And by using even, some people can't even handle fruit. The power in fruit, and Dr. Morse, he makes this pretty clear, people can't intellectually comprehend the power of these foods. When you have lower power in food, ultimately electromagnetics, voltage, frequency, which is what everything fluctuates at the end of the day, when you have lower forms of that, even if it's a little higher than what you have, that is just the perfect amount for your body to start to open up elimination, start to open up lymphatic pathways, capillaries, blood vessels, blockages in the colon. Even though they might be eating a mostly cooked, simple, steamed fruit veggie diet with cooked greens and some cooked apple and a little bit of grape juice or some raisins with banana, people can't fathom, but I thought you were going to put me on a juice fast or put me on a water fast with mono fruit eating, and I just go, absolutely not. You can do that if you want, but I don't recommend it yet. But once I understand that, we got to open those gates slowly, because it's like flushing a pipe too quickly, you'll see an expansion and a pop if you push it too hard. Yeah, you don't want to have that happen to lymph nodes. Popped lymph nodes is not fun. Popped and expanded bowels, not fun. It can kill you. So what I will get people on, and anyone can really ultimately safely do this, if you're on a Western American diet, a standard American diet, or a SAD diet, and a standard Australian diet, which is ultimately the same thing over here, is begin your day with a fruit meal, a smoothie of bananas and berries. And if that's too much for you, do cooked fruit. Do some cooked apple with cinnamon and raisins. And just that alone, and do everything the same during the day, that is a great first step. Otherwise, what you can do is just by adding a big combination salad of fruit, veggies, olives, cucumbers, tomato, tender leafy greens, all of the herbs, parsley, cilantro, dill, basil. These herbs are amazing cleansers, and what they're doing is they're moving through the colon, pulling away obstructions. It was Professor Spira that noted that fruits break apart waste, and the greens is like a bulk broom that flushes everything out. So it's a really great idea when you're someone that can handle fruits, and it does astound me on a side note how the abused human body can still handle fruits. Even in a pretty short space of time, I've noticed. And so you hit it with fruits, and then the salad comes behind and cleans it out. And it's this process of elimination happening, and it self-sustains. And then once that is sustaining itself, the body starts to, okay, cool, I've got time to repair. I can focus on this area. You might feel pain in the area. Oh my God, my shoulder's killing me, man. I'm 6 weeks into this program and my shoulder's just absolutely killing me. Or oh, remember you had a skiing accident and you broke your shoulder. Oh, true, yeah. You're going to feel that in the area as the body addresses that weakness. And then you can see things like iridology, and you can see the weakness there literally in the location. And I've had arguments with MDs before where they make fun of iridology. And I've said, well, how come is it I saw the exact things your scans showed without knowing anything about your scan results? and I don't know what to say to that. And I did have one MD acknowledge the fact that iridology was discovered by a medical Hungarian surgeon, I believe. So just hope that sinks into people. But really, if you're someone that's been on a lot of pharmaceuticals, I will use an Arnold Errett approach to begin with, and I will see how your body responds as we move to a more living food diet, because that's ultimately when we see the serious regeneration take place. But if you've got a lot of weight on you, you've got a lot of blockages in the bowels, we got to take those preliminaries first. Otherwise, yeah, it could be dire for you, and it couldn't be good.
Yeah, that was me. I was on so many pharmaceuticals as a kid, and they don't leave your body is the thing. And so when I go on these deep cleanses, you could literally feel the drugs re-entering your system, and you could feel the side effects. Yeah, it's crazy. Okay, and I did want to ask you, how important are herbs in this process? I didn't know anything about herbs when I transitioned. Part of me thinks maybe I could have eased the process a little bit, but in your eyes, are the herbs important when transitioning? If you don't have any serious health problems, do you encourage that?
Okay. So iridology, I mentioned it before, you can see the genetic strength of an individual. If you have a blue eye and you see or a green, ultimately there's only two colors of eyes, shades of brown and shades of blue, but save that for another day. If you have more greeny blue eyes, look at the fibers. If they're wavy, that's weaknesses. You see gaps, that's weaknesses. You see the same thing, almost looks like meteor craters in brown eyes. If you see these crater-like shapes in the eyes, these are known as like either toxic tunnels, these are lacunas, essentially is known in iridology. If you see this all over there, all over the iris, you know you've got a medium to weak constitution, or at least not a strong one, not a seriously good genetic constitution. But often you see African, Asian, and Northern European cultures have insanely good genetics. So if you're someone with stronger genetics, you'll probably do absolutely fine without herbs. You may not even ever need them because your body fundamentally is strong. It knows what to do. But imagine a body in an area, let's say your adrenal glands, that it's genetically weak, and your foundation of your body is a weak constitution. You're genetically weak. This means you're probably going to experience more detoxification symptoms. You're probably going to experience more negative sides on the healing. So there are some people that really struggle, and I always see the weak weaker genetic people, they struggle hard. You see strong genetic people, they just fly out the door. They literally have no problem. They barely even have healing crises. I'd look at them and go, wow, see you later, buddy. Like, have fun. They literally thrive. That's the strength of the foundation. It's like the foundation of your house. Is it full of termites or is it strong, good quality timber? And reason why herbs come in to be really important for people that have a lot of more chronic weaknesses is, imagine the area is so weak, it needs assistance, it needs help. And these herbs essentially help repair this area of the body. It helps bring strength and ultimately memory back. And the Western side has already acknowledged the memory, the genetic memory loss of cells, where they forget what to do. Their job is forgotten. They almost go to sleep. But we need to turn them back on. We need those functions to take place. So if you have low adrenal hormone production and literally you've got chronic adrenal gland weakness, they'll either remove them or we need to turn them back on and we need to get them functioning again. And herbs are a great, great way to do that. One of the best ones is licorice root. If you have low blood pressure, typically really low functioning adrenal gland people, it's a natural stimulant of ATP, which is what the adrenal glands naturally produce, which gets neurotransmitters being produced. It's a beautiful root that you can consume. But even if you're someone with strong genetics, you could still have some weaknesses, and taking a few herbs, nothing crazy, and knowing that these herbs are going to help assist your body for a period of time. This is not something you take forever. It's not like, hey mate, here's a herbal protocol, and yeah, these are supplements that you take forever, and you always be on them, and you'll need more of them. You always start off a little heavier, and then you refine, and then you pretty much should never need them again, unless maybe as a maintenance. The same way, again, animals don't just eat herbs all day long. They eat them when they're weak. And your body will tell you if you love them. You should feel amazing on herbs, and you feel the lacking when you remove them, because your body goes, yes, 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 give it to me. It's like a math tutor. I don't understand the equation. I need you to show me the equation again. You have a tutor, a guitar teacher, a music teacher, a sport trainer. Once you know how to do it, you don't need that trainer anymore. That's ultimately what the herbs are doing. And maybe once upon a time, we wouldn't have needed the same level, but Dr. Morse holds the opinion, and I would agree with him in most respects, but not all, that we need a lot more of the herbs in this day and age because of how weak people are. But the great thing is, a lot of these herbs you can consume not necessarily herbal protocols. You could buy parsley, which is one of the best kidney herbs on the planet, and we have to support our kidneys. You can buy coriander, which is known as cilantro in the US, which is a natural cleaner of the blood. So we've got two right there, which blood needs to be clean and your lymph needs to clean through the body, through the kidneys. So two of those, you can just spend your money there at the grocery store. So it's not like you have to go out of your way to find all these amazing superfoods, because ultimately as well, that diet is the most important thing. I don't want to see people eating whatever they want and spending thousands of dollars on herbs. You're literally wasting your money. It's the diet is number one. And Dr. Morse, even though he sells herbal products, he will always tell you, do not buy my herbs if you're not doing the protocol. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your money. I don't want you to waste your money. I want you to do it well. And that's very, very true.
Interesting. So it's very personal, but it doesn't need to be as complex, I think, as a lot of times we make it out to be.
Yeah.
Simplicity, and as you kind of get more tapped into your body will almost tell you what it wants and what it needs, just like the animals in the animal kingdom.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to get into a couple of common questions, concerns that I hear a lot, and you don't have to spend a lot of time on these. This can kind of be a rapid fire, but just to touch on these, I think would be really helpful for people. So probably the number one question that I get is, aren't you getting too much sugar? Are you worried about high blood sugar?
Cool. So having raised blood sugar is a good thing. It should happen. It's when does it come down? Your body uses sugar in the blood. It has to happen. Any more than 1 to 2 hours, we look at some concern there. But sugar is not the issue, because fruit sugar is completely different to sugar in candy, sugar in even not understanding that grains are sugars, vegetables are sugars, they're glucose chains instead of fructose chains. So we've got to change our perspective. When we understand that the molecules that make up sugar, monosaccharides in fruit, are carbon-based molecules, meaning they are alkaline in chemistry, that cannot damage your tissue. Just understanding that simple premise of chemistry should eradicate fear out of your being. That is not the same as Coca-Cola. Don't think I'm telling you that Coca-Cola has carbon-based chemistry, because it does not. It is a heated, refined sugar with food acid. That is ultimately what Coca-Cola is in a nutshell. So just remember that carbon molecules in sugar and fruit, your body loves it. You have to have ATP production, that is energy to cells, and the body does that very efficiently with fruit, because it naturally can have that response by consuming it. You have low sugar foods, like you have a diet that's ketogenic, you see people can get really, really tired and they have to rely on stimulants like coffee, because they have no other way to have ATP. They have to artificially stimulate ATP. That's my opinion, that because most people know that coffee naturally stimulates adrenal glands very heavily. So if you don't have that natural energy coming in, what do you turn to? Caffeine. So just keep that in mind. Fruit sugar is an amazing thing. And we do have, just on the side note, we have an amazing study from Yale that shows the body was converting glucose into fructose. And they didn't know why it was happening, but the body was going out of its way to convert one simple sugar, glucose, which is a simple sugar, into fructose, and even more simple sugar. And they were baffled by why it happened. But they put the study out because they observed it to happen. And it just confirms once again why we need fructose for the brain.
Yeah, and sugar has taken such the fall in today's health community. It seems to be blamed for everything now. And
protein is king, sugar is the devil, I think is the big one you hear. Like protein, 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 protein.
And
sugars like that.
Right, but sugar is our body's preferred source of energy. If you look at the brain of any species, that to me is the biggest tell, is what does the brain run on? If you look at cats and canines, their brain runs on amino acids, proteins, because they're carnivores. But you look at us, the body will literally eat itself in order to produce glucose to fuel the brain if you're not getting any sugars. And the way I see it, sugar is basically, it's you're eating sunlight energy. It's the storage form that plants use to store energy in their cells. And when we eat it, our mitochondria basically unlocks this stored sunlight energy, pure life force. Mm-hmm. Now, probably the second most common question I get is, where are you getting your protein? Can I still build muscle on this diet?
Yeah. Well, I watch, people can see my physique on my Instagram. I won't share it probably again, but I have quite a lot of muscle, to the point where I had a carnivore friend literally say, "You must be eating meat, mate. There's no way you can't be have a physique like that." And he had no idea what I ate, but I said I haven't eaten meat in nearly 15 years. And I told him that I eat a fruit-based diet. He is now on a fruit-based diet. He is struggling because he is a good example of someone that has relied on protein. When you rely on stimulation versus vital energy to cells, you are going to hit the ground hard. And this is why I think people that come from vegetarian diets tend to do a lot better, much quicker on these protocols, purely because of they haven't relied on acid stimulation. Because acids will initially stimulate, and you will notice a hyperactivity, and then eventually you'll notice a hypoactivity happen, the decay or the shutting down of a gland. And we really, again, just like sugar, we got to change our perspective with protein. I don't get protein. I get amino acids, the same way herbivores don't eat protein. They eat a dense amount of amino acid structure in greens, grasses, different types of herbivorous growth on the earth's floor that they graze on all day long. And we got to remember that they have other structures there that we can't break down. You can access the structures of these foods, these greens, if you juice them. But ultimately, that is too much amino acids. The human being is not a large species. We need much more sugar, much more hydration of water, and we need a plentiful amount of amino acids to which fruits have an abundant source of. And your body will then structure its own protein from that. And people often say, well, you don't have a complete protein, you don't have this. Well, I find it very interesting, because if that were the case, based on their definition, my clients and myself that are on calorie deficits, that don't consume supposedly adequate amounts of protein, should be skin and bone and shouldn't be functioning. So it's just a testament to that, myself, but also my clients. It's not like it's just me saying, look, I'm doing this, but you see it with the clients. So just like sugar, they've got us pulled in two directions, hate sugar, love protein. And they've got us sort of this big tug of war happening, but we've got to drop those both and really look at what's happening in nature. And even a carnivore's breast milk for a mother, like a lion's breast milk, for example, still has higher protein, of course, than a frugivorous or a mother's breast milk and a herbivore's breast milk. But they also have still high fat and high sugar, because sugar ultimately is the reconstructing, energizing side of chemistry of nature. Like, these are fundamental laws in nature. Sure, there's species that function more in certain types of chemistry, but chemistry is chemistry. Corrosive chemistry is corrosive chemistry. That's why a carnivore's digestive tract is really short and it's not ribbed. It needs to eliminate this ASAP. As soon as possible, this waste has to move out. And so nature has it all figured. This is, again, why just looking at nature can tell us that. But then just the fundamentals of how the body builds, that the body needs simple sugar. It needs high neurological conductivity to the cells, and needs high gland function, high electrolyte function from the diet. And you're going to see a body vibe and thrive on levels that you've never experienced. And anyone that's read Mucusless Diet, Healing System, and Rational Fasting by Professor Arnold Errett will see what Arnold Errett did to himself and other people that followed him, and what it was like on a pretty much exclusively monofruitarian diet, I believe, for extended months on end.
Yeah, and the way I kind of describe eating protein versus getting amino acids is like, imagine if you're writing a book, and eating, you know, animal protein would be like taking an existing book and having to put it through the shredder to get individual letters for your page.
And it's what, that's so good, man.
And when you're eating amino acids in the form of fruit, you're just getting a library of letters in their pure form that you can assemble into muscle, connective tissue, whatever your body needs to repair. And so you're not wasting all of your body uses a huge amount of energy just to break down and assimilate food. And so you're not having to put that book through the shredder to get your amino acids to rebuild your body. You're just kind of getting it in their pure form. But I find that analogy kind of sticks with people.
That's a brilliant analogy. I've heard the analogy of your cells are carpenters and they like individual materials, not packaged structure. Like, a carpenter wants nails, timber, glue, a drill. It doesn't want, you know, a little shack with all the timber, drill, glue already put together. I have to take that apart to use them. Exactly.
Yeah. There you go. Exactly.
Yeah. But I love that analogy of the paper shredder, because, man, you'll be there for a long time. And your body is. And that's, again, why you see energy loss. Your body has to do deconstruction. It has to do all these things. It has to. It's like, what am I doing? I can't use this. By the time you're done, your body can barely use anything. I remember John Rose said, when you even cook food and you cook protein, carnivores really ultimately should be eating their meat raw, because you have the denaturing from heat, which ultimately is going to make the availability of the protein you have very, very low. Your body is you're barely getting, I think he even measured, I don't remember the exact number, but it was somewhere around like 10, 20%, if that. Whereas if you have it raw, you're getting like 60, 70 or whatever. And just from the heating aspect.
Right. Exactly. And my last, the last question I get has to do with deficiencies, vitamins, minerals. Personally, I find that my body doesn't want any synthetic supplements, but I know a lot of vegans, vegetarians are concerned about things like iodine, B12, D3, K2. Are these a concern in your mind, or does the body learn to regulate itself?
Yeah. Well, I think a negative that the raw food world has got is that you see a lot of people on YouTube saying, as a raw foodist, these are the supplements I take. As a vegan, these are the supplements I take. And this is a massive disservice to what this lifestyle is. I understand we have depletion of soil, but I'll often say to people, fruit trees don't grow in topsoil. They have deeper roots. The foods we eat have deeper roots. They seek nutrients. They seek life. They seek what they need to survive. They don't just stop and go, oh, I'm done. I'll just hang out. They've even found, I think, alfalfa plants growing about 20 feet or so underground, like deep, seriously deep roots, where you just think, what is the plant doing? Why is it going? It's seeking. And so supplementation has come in pretty much making people think that my diet is inadequate, so I need a refined structure that has taken a nutrient from some other source, isolated it, meaning put it into a singular component, and expanded it, you know, 2000 milligram vitamin C capsule, for example, or a 2000 milligram calcium capsule. And you've got all these, well, they're known as orthomoleculars, actually, is the proper term for them. And this creates serious disharmony in the body. They can temporarily give you a relief, but it's not structured chemistry. And what people don't realize, it's like what you said at the beginning, we don't need to add more things. We need to get the body more simple. The body will regulate itself. Example of this with weak hair, weak nails, my nails and teeth, and they're decaying, the teeth that I experience, and I see this with clients all the time. As soon as they remove the obstruction to the flow of energy, the lymph is moving away. They have the hydration coming in of the diet. That gland, the glands that are responsible for calcitonin, the calcium hormone that allows your body to utilize calcium, is now functioning well, which comes from your parathyroid glands. Now your body can use the calcium that you're giving it. You want a high calcium food? Alfalfa sprouts, herbs. We've got soaked pumpkin seeds, if people are concerned. You pretty much get everything with soaked pumpkin seeds, which is, again, the seed of a fruit. Pumpkin's a fruit. So once we realize that we need to eliminate obstruction, then our body can utilize. So what are you actually utilizing? Probably not much of what you're eating. You've probably got malabsorption. You're probably hungry after you eat. What is that telling you about how your body's utilizing things? B12, for example, there's a lot of discrepancy there. Take the supplement, don't take the supplement. People that eat meat say they get it, not understanding that animals are injected with B12 because of how sterile the environment is. From my understanding, B12 naturally occurs in soil and also is produced in the small bowel. And also from high bacteria and high amounts of good bacteria and enzymes. And what do we see with raw food people? Their B12 levels become sustained without supplementing B12 because they're eating raw food. And it's my opinion, and at the moment it is theoretical because I haven't seen anything, you know, concrete on this, but it makes sense to me that when you eat raw food, you're going to naturally have the levels that you require because you don't have cooked matter going through your colon all the time. You now have raw matter, high electrical fiber, and you've got the good bacteria, the enzymatic side of that as well, which is going to naturally have a balance, a homeostatic balance in your body when it comes to what it's producing. And also would like to preface as well that when people get their blood tests, remember that they are measuring your blood tests against Western people. So they are metrics based on the standard person. You should have higher iron levels. It's pretty common knowledge now in a lot of vegan doctor groups or plant-based thinking doctor groups that higher iron is associated with cardiovascular risk, heart weakness, heart attacks, because they think that you should have higher amounts of iron, that you should have higher protein, you should have higher this, when actually maybe your body needs actually lower than what we are taught, that we are just basing it on a metric of unhealthy humans.
I'm so glad you brought up that point, because that's my thing with blood work as well, is like the numbers are completely arbitrary. They pull them from an average sampling of the population, so right? And we know that every time a new class of drug comes out, like statins, they lower the range for cholesterol because it qualifies that many more people to be put on a drug and put money in the pockets of these companies. And so my thing is always like, why would I want to compare myself to the average Western person when the average Western person is not healthy? How do we know what the optimal levels actually are?
Yeah.
Normal does not mean optimal, because I think somebody who's been on, you know, you can look at these people like Brother Air or even Spira in this community, who have been on this raw diet or even very long water fast, dry fast, and their body is running completely different from somebody who's consuming a heavy Western diet. You can't even compare the two. It's like trying to compare an electric car with a diesel truck, right? And so if you give these people the same foods and you compare the response in the body,
yeah,
you're not even comparing the same thing. And so I think this is what people should understand is don't compare yourself to what Western medicine says that your vitamin levels, your mineral levels, your blood levels should be.
I just want to add one thing to that quickly, Chad, and that is that people, I haven't seen many medical doctors ask you, how do you feel? They'll happily tell you that the numbers are wrong. You know, that lower B12 is neurological decay, brain atrophy, loss of sexual function, whatever, nerve decay, neuropathy, whatever they say, linked to, like it is associated with. They never ask you how you're going and how you're feeling. And that's exactly right. It's an arbitrary measurement of what they tell us that we is again, it's taking information from authority versus what is my experience? What am I experiencing? We don't know exactly what the right measurements should be because this is actually a whole new way of measuring things. The same way they say that Ayurveda or Chinese medicine, raw foodism, whatever it may be, is alternative. And yet these things have been around for sometimes more than 5,000-10,000 years. And modern man has been doing things for maybe 250 years, to be generous, with the modern implementation of how we're doing things. And from what I've seen, it's not really getting us in a good way. It's a little example recently of a family member of mine was in the ICU intensive care unit in hospital, my grandma, and she was getting worse and worse. She was almost comatose, was becoming inaudible. And I have a personal friend that works as a nurse in a hospital in Brisbane City. And he said it's very common. You see people come in with one problem, next thing they start suppressing symptoms and they end up dying in hospital from something entirely different. But they'll say you died from something else. Very, very sad indeed. And my grandma managed to get out. The only thing that pretty much turned her around was the implementation of fruit juice and herbs. My family members said just by process of elimination, that's the only thing they put it down to. The doctors there became very annoyed and they didn't want them there anymore. Now she feels more than normal. She's, I think, 84, 85. She's absolutely buzzing. She's not done yet, but it just shows again that how are we measuring health? How are we doing this? Because clearly there's something incredibly wrong. We've got to listen to how we're feeling and to know that your body will tell you. But having guidance like from people like us or reading Dr. Morse's book, Arnold Errett's book, Professor Spira's books, is we're helping show you what your body is capable of and not to be afraid that maybe my body knows more than what some person's measurement of my body is telling me.
You nailed it on the head. I think we've completely lost sight of that inner voice and that inner guidance that exists within all of us. And so I think that kind of brings us, I had all this stuff that I wanted to talk about concerning the emotional side and the spiritual side. And for the sake of time, we'll have to have you back on for another episode. But maybe if you can just touch upon that before we close, you know, people who go on this diet for an extended period of time, probably the most common thing I hear is I just feel more connected, at peace, at one with, you know, God or the divine or love, whatever name you want to ascribe to it. I feel more emotionally balanced, less angry, less moody. What's your experience been with the emotional and the spiritual transformation?
Well, you're 100% right, Chad, because when your physical body starts cleaning up physical waste, there's two sides to the coin. There's a physical side and there's a non-physical side, an energetic component. People can, as you said, can call it whatever the name that feels right for you. But ultimately, there's other forces moving through the body that affect how we feel. And as they start to move, it's very common to experience levels of despair at the beginning, sadness, and ecstatic enjoyment. You can experience every extreme, and then this calm balance just makes its way into your being. Your mind becomes like a flat lake. If I were to eat cooked food in high amounts, my mind would be a jumping jack. And it's one of the most common reports I get from clients is, oh, I might be physically struggling a little bit or feeling this, but my mind is so sharp and so clear that alone is enough for me to just keep going. And then next thing, their physical body is thriving and doing incredibly well. And really, we got to look at the fact that, as I said, there's two sides to the same coin. The physical body starts moving, the emotional body starts to do it. So not to be scared by that, but to understand that ultimately, from what I've experienced with 3 or so years of coaching people and consulting with people, is that is ultimately what can be a deciding factor on their success, is how much are they willing to process emotional blockages, emotional situations, relationships to people, letting go of relationships of people oppressing them, saying you shouldn't be doing this, seeing that you're doing well, but they'll tell you you're wrong. They are coming from a place of love, but ultimately they're blocking you from your fuller potential. And it can be hard. Relationships can be severed. Families can be separated. But ultimately, just a quick relation back to the whole thing with my grandma, is there was a lot of contention there, but now they're brought together because they see it working. They are witnessing the turnaround. And they finally see that this alternative means of doing things is having yielding and sustaining results that have gotten a family member from death's door, and realizing that you reap what you sow. This is a proverb that rings so true. If you put in chaotic chemistry and information into your body, expect a mind of complete dismay and chaos, and expect a body of the same. As you put simplicity in, the chaos leaves you, and that can come up in emotional detoxification, something I covered on a video that we of course can get into much deeper layers of in a separate video and episode together. But that ultimately is what happens. You bring light into your body, as you said, sunlight energy. This, when light shines, darkness disperses. And there people have a lot of, if you want to break it down to that simplicity, a lot of darkness in their body, dark energies, dark thoughts. You will start to realize that you will no longer be attracted to darker types of music, heavy metal, death metal, corrosive rap, whatever these things are that are weighing you down, relationships that are heavy, purely because the frequency of the food you've been consuming now is of a lighter frequency in nature, just based on principles of magnetics and energy. And ultimately, that is consciousness expressing itself. Consciousness can express itself in the darkest matter, and consciousness can express itself in the lightest non-physical way. And it's ultimately, you're feeling that in your physical body by means of what you're eating. And that's why both will inevitably arise with one another. And if you block emotional things, you're going to prohibit your healing at the end of the day. So we have to acknowledge that other side of the coin. Often the side of the coin we don't want to look at.
Yeah. And we could do a whole episode on that topic alone, and I'm sure we will.
We will, man, definitely.
I think that's probably the most overlooked part of this diet and diet in general. Is kind of where we're headed as a humanity, as a species, that we are going through this massive awakening and spiritual shift collectively.
Yeah.
And the entire frequency and the energy of the earth is shifting. And this has been talked about for thousands of years. All the traditions had some sort of prophecy about these times that we're living through now. Mm-hmm. And I really do believe that as we continue to accelerate through this process, that the human diet is going to become lighter. It's going to become more living foods based, more fruit based. And there's many other people who are talking about this, even in different fields. I like to look at where does science crossover with metaphysics and spirituality and philosophy. And so you see all these very, very spiritual people, channelers. I know channeling is very contentious and it's misunderstood. It can be a very esoteric topic. Mm. But I was just listening to Lee Harris's new book with Regina Meredith. He's a very well-known channeler, one that I really resonate with. And, you know, they were basically demonstrating where humanity is headed. And one of the things they said is the human diet is going to become lighter in nature, almost liquid, fruit-based. And it
Wow.
seems like many, many people in this space are saying the same thing. And so
Yeah.
I think, as you said earlier, time will tell. It's, you know, it's an honor to be on this journey with folks like you at this time. I couldn't be more optimistic about where we are headed
Oh, yeah.
as a humanity. I think we are headed to heights that are beyond our imagination. So on that note, this has been an illuminating conversation. I just want to thank you for taking the time and sharing your wisdom. Where can people find you? Where can people learn more about what you're doing and connect with you?
Yeah, man. Oh, yeah. It's been an absolute pleasure. People can find me at rawgenerate.com, rawgenerate.com. I also have a podcast, Raw Generate Yourself with Jake Gallen, on Apple Podcast, on Spotify. It's also on my YouTube channel there at the same name. And Instagram is, I share a lot there. I'm really focusing more on the podcast and doing testimonials, just sharing client testimonials, doing episodes with people like you, really discussing the deeper levels of this world, because the realm of healing is vast. The solution is quite, in the physical world, simple, but the application can be a real struggle. And that's ultimately what I want to see people succeed in, is seeing how they can practically do it. And it definitely makes sense to me that we go into a liquidarian style of lifestyle. I look at someone like Dan McDonald. He ultimately just has juices, smoothies, and simple salads. And during the time when I was going through deep grief, that's all I was having was juices. And my body, I could feel the emotions moving in and out of me very quickly. And I imagine if I were to have emotionally eaten, or eaten something of higher complexity and more structured matter, would have slowed that process down. I'm certain of that. And there's an awakening indeed that you mentioned that is inevitable. Like as it's said, I think in the book, The Alchemist, maktub, I believe, means it is written. Like it is so, it will happen. And it's like in Taoism, it's the way things are meant to be. And a storm will not outlast the day is a proverb from that book. And that chaos is not the resolution of humanity and of nature. It's actually of calmness. And that will be seen, and we are seeing the unveiling of that. I can feel it, man. And it's been an absolute pleasure with you. And anyone, if they want to reach out to me, I've got a free ebook on my through my website, through my link tree on my Instagram. People can come and chat with me. I've got my podcast, and I'll say hi, I'll chat with you. And people can book a free call with me as well if they just want to connect to see what it's like, if they want to consult with me. And if they've got serious health problems, I highly recommend them to do that, because I'm not someone that's going to hide stuff behind a crazy paywall and say, if you coach with me for 4 months, you're going to get the secret ingredient. You're going to get everything you need in one consultation. And if you want to coach with me, you can. If you want to go off a lone wolf, do your thing. And that's the beauty of this, is real people doing this. We're not grabbing money from people. We're wanting to help people. And that's essentially what gravitated me to Dr. Morse, is he was someone who has been bankrupt multiple times because he gave all his money away. And he's realized that he can't help people if he does that. So obviously we live in a world where there's these things that we unfortunately need, but I see communities forming in the physical world, in real like interaction life, that we have the online communities here, like hanging with you, Chad, and spending this time with you. And I really look forward to more conversations with you and having these deeper discussions into the realms of healing and growth as humanity.
We will definitely be back with more. And yes, do reach out to Jake, reach out to me, reach out to both of us. We're happy to just chat with you. If you have any questions, the last thing we want is for you to lone wolf it and have a bad experience with this and never give it a shot again. And so do seek out the proper knowledge and the guidance. We're always here. Hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did find value in it, be sure to subscribe, give us a rating, share this with a friend, whatever you want. But thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Chad. Pleasure.